WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Pope Francis will be discharged from the Rome Hospital tomorrow, says one of his doctors there, Sergio Alfieri, at a news conference.
During his hospitalization, the Holy Father clinical conditions presented two very critical episodes in which the Holy Father's life was in danger.
But now the doc says Pope Francis has been stable for at least 2 weeks. He's recovering from pneumonia. Police say an argument and a fight between two groups escalated last night into the mass shooting at Young Park in Las Cruces, New Mexico. It leaves three people dead, 14 others injured, no arrests yet. Visiting a new sinkhole that opened up on I-80 in Morris County, New Jersey this week, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy.
This is a massive artery that can't be shut down. And so everyone is working together to figure out what solution we need to make sure we can open up this roadway again.
This is ABC News. Affected by President Trump's executive order dismantling the Department of Education, those ex-students accounting for more than $1.6 trillion in student loans. Bankrate principal loans writer Andrew Pentis.
Many borrowers who are not enrolled in an income-driven repayment plan but want to be are experiencing that higher monthly payment right now. So income-driven repayment plans cap borrowers' monthly dues at a percentage of their income. And without that option on the table, their budget could be breaking right now.
He suggests borrowers wait, though, to see where the dust settles before considering private options. A NASA spacecraft will make its second close brush with the sun. The Parker Solar Probe made its record-breaking first pass within 3.8 million miles in December, flying closer than any object sent before. Parker will attempt the journey again today. Scientists hope the data will help them better understand the sun's outer atmosphere and what drives the solar wind. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A record number of visitors toured America's national parks and monuments last year, including sites here in Wisconsin. More than 331 million people flocked to national parks in 2024. Here in Wisconsin, Apostle Islands and the St. Croix Scenic National Riverway both saw boosts in visitors. It's unclear, though, what the summer travel season will hold this year after the Trump administration fired 1,000 National Parks employees across the country on Valentine's Day. Time to say happy birthday to our state parks. This year, Wisconsin's state park system turns 125. Our oldest park is Interstate Park, located along the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, established back in 1900. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Indigenous women are at higher risk of violence and homicide than anyone else in the country. Judith Ruiz Branch has the story.
A new study shows that intimate partner violence disproportionately impacts Indigenous women more than any other ethnic or racial group in the U.S. The murder rate for Native American women and girls is up to 10 times higher than the national average, according to the U.S. Department of Justice, yet they account for less than 1% of the population. Desiree Todi with the Center Against Sexual and Domestic Abuse is a member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa in Wisconsin.
There's jurisdictional issues that come into play as to how things are investigated, how things are tried, and there's always racism. There's less attention paid to the individuals that some of these things happen to.
The Wisconsin Department of Justice created a task force to combat violence against Native women across the state after legislation that would have addressed these issues failed to pass. Poor tracking and data collection are just some of the many issues that contribute to the epidemic amongst Indigenous women. During a multi-state march last month, Todi read a list of names of Indigenous people from Minnesota who had died from domestic violence. No such list currently exists for Wisconsin, and Todi says she's working on changing that.
I have three daughters that I want them to grow up as strong Native women, and I want them to grow up safely as strong Native women. I mean, this is their futures on the line. This is their ability to walk down a street safely.
Research shows Indigenous women also face significant barriers when seeking help after experiencing domestic violence. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust syndicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend, bit of a different finish though. Sunny skies today with a high near 41. For tonight, increasing clouds, a light mix possible late, a low near 32. Rainy and breezy on Sunday with a high temperature near 50. Right now, it's 38 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director of a new documentary called A Road at Night, John Roach. And then actor Ezekiel Drews joins the show to talk about a fun new musical. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Yeah, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Saturday, love Saturdays, one full hour, Busted Pencils. Dr. Johnny, producer Jess, how are you both doing? I'm gonna throw it to Jess first. Jess, how are you?
I am doing great, Tim. This is the best way to have a weekend, busting pencils right with some educated educators. It's winter, there's snow on the ground, sweaters are out. It is good stuff. So happy to be with you, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. How you doing?
Hey, it's 2025. You know, I am still excited to be in the classroom. I mean, it's a couple of weeks now we've had class, and the students are going, and I love them, and they got me going. You know, if you listen on Friday, you heard about our, you know, winter sports passion, at least mine. So it's mid hockey season. It's the ramp up. I say it's mid-hockey season just because it's the middle of winter, but it's ramp up to the playoffs for us. And so we have big games all weekend, and I love that. So teaching and playing hockey and working with the guys on the ice, it's been busy, but it's been good. And it's great to be here because I love the Saturday time we have together. Yeah. And as always, I mean, I love all of our guests, but I'm excited about this guest today, Tim. Let's get him on.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get him on. Well, I said, you know, last week it was just Tim, Johnny, and Jess for a whole hour last Saturday. And so, yeah, we're back. We've got another guest. In fact, he is an education technology strategist, consultant, and one of Canada's leading education strategists with over 20 years of experience in the sector. He's a former teacher, raised by two educators who brings a unique perspective, shaped by his upbringing and extensive work with K-12 administrators and ed tech companies. He is also the host of the Education Matters podcast, where he explores how education impacts individuals and communities. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Jason Boucheri. Jason, how are you, my friend?
Tim, I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Was that a little too much energy for you?
The best way for me to describe it is that's American energy. Lots of busting, lots of pencils, lots of excitement, which is just fun. Which
USA.
Is fun.
USA.
I've heard that chant a few times in my day. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, back. Hey, we are all educated educators talking education when it comes to Busted Pencils. So no borders here. We break down the borders. In fact, as Johnny would say, we bust those borders. You know, we've got listeners in Finland. We got listeners in Germany. And now, man, all of Canada. I cannot wait to see the downloads coming out of, you know, our northernmost. Well, we won't even talk about TFG's ideas with this. But Jason, you have such an interesting background, and I'll put this out, you know, where do the Busted Pencils guests come from? They come from Tim's online stalking of potential guests, whether that be on the X Twitter whether that's on the Blue Sky, whether that's on LinkedIn, there are incredible people out there. And Jason, I came across your podcast on LinkedIn and just said, you know, first of all, the video format that you use is great. But I started looking in and saw a little bit of a opening and think, you know what, this is a person that we want to have on Busted Pencils. And I sent you that little LinkedIn note, and man, right away you came back and you're like, hey. So I'm thinking, like, so you didn't go like, oh my God, who's this weird stalker?
No, I mean, it's I mean, the beauty of LinkedIn is you're more vetted, right? So I got a quick glimpse into what you're doing, and came across Busted Pencils pretty fast. And just to connect this to the earlier idea here, you know, one of the beauties of this and of modern technologies, you know, we connect things across borders. And hopefully we can get into this a bit, but for me, education is the way forward. This is how we, you know, we can connect different identities, explore different identities, whether that be American, Canadian, or otherwise.
Yeah. Well, so we're going to talk a lot. I mean, this is why I wanted to have you two for our Saturday show, so that we can actually have the time to dig into your lots of different experiences, mm-hmm. and then really talk about also to your podcast, Education Matters. But Jason, you know, your background, you have a blend of teaching, consulting, working with ed tech companies. I mean, mm-hmm. tell me how that kind of set you up to understand K-12 public education. What are some challenges and where do you see some opportunities?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for the question. I mean, it really starts in the classroom. I mean, it starts before that. I grew up on university campus. My father was a university professor and my mother an elementary school teacher. So whenever I had, a PD day, I was either at another elementary school with my mom or more likely at the university, because that was kind of the cooler place to go and hang out and, find the underground arcades they used to have back in the day. But I spent time literally in my dad's Italian lit classrooms, mm-hmm. listening to him teach and, getting a lot of attention from all of his students, because I'd be there playing my Game Boy in the back and trying to disrupt the class as much as possible. So education really for me started, you know, as just part of the environment. And then professionally, it started as an elementary school teacher. And I lasted a good year there and realized this is going to be tougher than I thought. So I went back to school, did a master's in literature. And then from there, eventually got into higher ed publishing. From higher ed publishing, I worked in K-12. And all these experiences were awesome in that they kind of opened up the world of education to me. I didn't want to, you know, move too far from education. I just thought teaching in the format that, you know, it existed then and by and large still exists today was not what I wanted to do. I felt trapped. Mm. And so the kind of beauty of what I've been able to do is see classrooms not only across Canada, which I'm not sure if you're aware, your listeners are aware, we don't have a federal body of education. And I know you guys have been talking a lot about that lately. So I might have some insights for you on that if you want to jump into some ideas there, but we don't have a federal body of education. So even our educators, by and large, don't do too much work out of the province, although they do. But in terms of like the ed tech side, the, you know, average teacher doesn't really understand what's happening across the country. So I've had this unique perspective and the podcast has been a way to share it with the community that I've been involved in for years now.
Johnny.
Well, man, I love it, Jason, and a big fan of the podcast. You know, Tim kicked it over to me, got to listen, and I said, oh, yeah, we're going to have a blast with this guy. You know, so I appreciate you being here and love that backstory for you. And in particular, you know, kind of a, like themed through what you're sharing and talking about related to the podcast and, you know, this broad idea, I'd like to ask you, like, you kind of explore how education shapes society and democracy and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. And so I'd like to ask you a little bit about, you know, can you share a little bit of your vision of what's education's role in society? Like, kind of how do you come at it and see it?
Yeah, I love that question. I mean, to me, it's the bedrock. It's the bedrock of when we're talking about a society, we're talking about our kind of societies, right? Democratic societies. And so for me, really from the onset and the way I started my entire podcast series was really starting with with my father. I wanted to start authentic, and he was the one who's influenced me the most. And for him, the entire purpose of education is for civic ends, is to not only have an educated and engaged populace, but one that understands what human flourishing is, what the value of human life is, and that we have responsibility to our neighbors and to our brothers and sisters. So that's really the sort of impetus for the podcast.
Man, well, you just said too, what we always point out here at Busted Pencils, our neighbors. We're trying to get our neighbors to listen and taking care of our neighbors. Hey, if you're a neighbor too, 608-557-8577. That's the number for the Busted Pencils mailbag. Also, the text only line, 855-752-4842. That way you can send us your text message. You know, and yeah, if you want to know what it's like up north, 608-557-8577. I know some people in Wisconsin, our regular Wisconsin listeners, are like, it's not any colder up there than it is here in the winter. Jess, what do you say?
We're at single digits right now, so. And that's Fahrenheit, single digits Fahrenheit. Before we came on, we had a little chat, a little joke about Canadian measuring systems.
Well, really, the rest of the world's measuring system.
Well, I don't know about that. Jason shared a graphic with me about apparently Canada uses all the measuring systems, and it really depends on specifically what you're measuring. I learned that they get really nitty gritty about temperature, that, you know, specifically for a pool, there you'll use Fahrenheit, but when it's outdoors, then you use Celsius. Is that right?
It just makes sense. Trust me. You just have to Google Canadian flowchart temperature.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, man. Well, Jason, so the transition, and you know, when we met and we had a kind of a pre-interview and talked about this, you said, you know, you starting in elementary school, you know, that was our common connection. I said, I was a second grade teacher, and it was just like, whoa, what is it that, you know, for you, you'd said, you know, there was something there that you felt like it was that moment to say, I want to do something different. And was it the ed tech first, or was it just the sense of saying, I know education is my calling, but there's a different way around, or how I want to enter? Give you a little, just, you know, kind of briefly there for about a minute or so.
I appreciate that. I would say that the four walls felt real tight. Mm-hmm. I was isolated. I had, you know, first year teachers at elementary school. Tim, I'm sure you know well how overwhelming that is in terms of understanding, you know, the entire flow to a year. But for me, it felt like there was a better way to influence more people. And so the ed tech side kind of stumbled into it that way, as a way to stay close to education and find a way to continue to support. So for me, it was a way to get beyond those classroom walls and explore what education looked like outside of the classroom.
Our guest this Saturday is Jason Buscieri. Check out his podcast. We're going to talk more about that. Education Matters. We'll have all of that in the description so that people can get that when you download the podcast. Remember, the Busted Pencils mailbag, 608-557-8577. We want to hear what you're thinking out there. When we get back, Jason, too, want to ask you this question and let you think on it during the commercial. Is ed tech a tool or a cultural transition that we need to adapt to? More specifically, artificial intelligence. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
A new choice.
Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's not too much Busted Pencils ever. It's Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Our guest, Jason Bucheri. Yeah, from Canada. Yes, we said Busted Pencils. We go wherever the most awesome people are. And then we, you know, beg them to come on our show.
Who's this we?
I don't know. I got to put a little bit of it on you because I don't want to be the one kind of creepy guy out there. So we are back. We're talking everything. Jason, you've had such an incredible past in bringing all these things together. Ed tech, you know, and I left the last segment by kind of setting up AI. But before I get into AI, though, too, I wanted to just talk about this because I think this will help lead us in. Is you've been working with ed tech and school districts in partnerships very specifically and helping those partnerships get off the ground, or even potentially sometimes too to see some of the things like, whoa, not doing this. Because I hear this all the time with ed tech is that how do we enter into some really great, you know, partnerships, whether it be with an ed tech company, whether it's with an ed tech distributor. Give us a little sense of that world, and then we'll kind of pivot to the current realities of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I'd love to. So first and foremost, it's a complicated dynamic, right? Like there are a ton of amazing ed tech companies and resources out there really in it for the right reasons, really trying to, you know, better the same kind of mission I talked about in the first segment about, you know, forwarding and expanding education to help people understand what are the things that really matter and how we make a better society. But they're also pressed upon by having to essentially survive. I mean, a lot of startups are out there and they go month to month trying to make payroll. So it's a complicated industry. Because then on the other side, you have school districts that need a lot of help, need a lot of outside partners, recognize this, but it's complicated. So I would say, you know, the best piece of advice I could give and the best kind of structure would be to kind of quote one of the guests I just had on recently, Dr. Jordan Tinney, who is a retired superintendent out of British Columbia, and he was head of the Surrey School District, which is the biggest in British Columbia for a long time. And his advice for ed tech companies, and I think which is the right approach and is how I've always approached my work, is you got to lead with the relationships first. You have to understand the people that are operating the system, the needs that they have, and really take the time to cultivate that relationship piece. The other part that he identified was that he hated this idea, and so do I, quite frankly, of an ed tech company coming to a school district and saying, I'm going to solve your problems, or we're going to make life easier. That's just the wrong-headed approach. First of all, you're approaching the experts in education, and it's always more complicated than you think, right? So his advice was, how are you making or approach districts and help them understand how you are making the work more rewarding for teachers, more rewarding for students. And once you have that, he said, everybody will work towards it. Because it's a complicated piece to implement a new piece of technology, whether it be for literacy, for math, you know, even, you know, a student information system, right? So how do you make everyone's life more rewarding? How do you keep pulling everybody towards that goal of helping education expand.
Johnny, I know you're jump in there, man. I got tongue tied there for a second.
Well, yeah, Tim, you know, I love it. I love this idea of like what, you know, what's the relationship between technology that helps learners, helps teachers, you know, and we're part of a technological society in this particular moment that is in the midst of major change. I mean, the technology is changing. It's developing faster. I mean, I don't even want to say faster because it's always technology is always developed incredibly fast. But this new technology, primarily AI, right? It is developing so quickly and it is changing the landscape of labor, of work. And that includes teaching and learning. And, you know, we've gone back and forth, Tim, like we've kicked it around and teased the Tim being, you know, a regular parishioner at the Church of AI and me being kind of that bad Catholic about it. I'm like, yeah. Like, I mean, I get AI and technology. I'm not a Luddite, but at the same time, I'm like, let me go head to head with it any day. Like I can write faster. I can make good lesson plans. I can teach.
Not for long, Johnny.
But Jason, I was going to say, you know, what I've learned in the last, you know, 8 months, especially since, you know, Tim and I have been looking at it more closely and we've been taking workshops on how to teach with AI, how to learn with AI, what are the roles that it has in classrooms. You know, it's really transformed me and I think it's made me a better teacher. And those are tools that I really like. We talk a lot about music and we've talked about on this show, Jason, like the drum machine came out and did it eliminate drummers? No, but you know, your job was on the line if you were a really crappy drummer. So there was a lot of creative stuff that happened because of the drum machine. There were a lot of great drummers that developed even better chops. And so I feel similar to that in teaching. So, you know, I'm really interested in hearing, like, you know, Jason's working with EdTech and AI and, you know, your thoughts on its impact, not only on society, but especially on teaching and learning.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to be a real good Canadian here and I'm going to sit right on the fence between the two of you. Okay. and that's not for lack of an opinion one way or the other, but just the disposition that I think you need to have. So first and foremost, before we say it's good or bad, one thing to me is abundantly clear, and that's you have to study it. So this is also a very Canadian and in particular Torontonian study. So the work of Marshall McLuhan is absolutely central here to this. And Marshall McLuhan, for probably a younger generation that might be listening, this might not be aware, is like one of the most famous communication theorists on planet Earth. Like he's in Annie Hall, he's in a Woody Allen movie, right? So how did he get there is a story in itself, but essentially wrote a book called Understanding Media. And so what I would propose is that you have to understand the technology first. So educators are great at this, exploring, learning. And so I think there's amazing opportunities for pedagogy. I think there are a lot of ethical concerns that we need to have. But I think the way we get at it is by starting to study it. And that in itself can be some great pedagogy right there.
Well, yeah. And so studying it too. Yeah, Johnny, you're like in the text or text messages back and forth with each other. I love this. Study it. Yeah, the idea here. And Jason, your connection too to recognizing the professionalism and the curiosity that teachers can bring to these platforms. And whether it's, you know, again, whether it's an ed tech software or now here AI, as AI is coming forward, you know, what do teachers think? How do they see this? How do they use this opportunity to engage even to it with each other? And I think that's what's really happened too, is maybe Johnny and I are modeling, you know, a conversation. We said maybe 8 months ago, we started out kind of like, oh, I love this. And Johnny was like, Tim, back off. But, you know, we've both been engaging with it. And I do see, as you said, there are some real places where, guess what? It is not going to make learning better. It actually can interrupt learning in different spaces. And, you know what? We're having a great conversation with Jason Bucheri. We're going to keep going on this because there's more to go on AI. It's Busted Pencils. Hey, we're going to come back. See you in a minute.
The
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pope Francis will be discharged from the Rome Hospital tomorrow, says one of his doctors there, Sergio Alfieri, at a news conference.
During his hospitalization, the Holy Father clinical conditions presented two very critical episodes in which the Holy Father's life was in danger.
But now the doc says Pope Francis has been stable for at least 2 weeks. He's recovering from pneumonia. Police say an argument and a fight between two groups escalated last night into the mass shooting at Young Park in Las Cruces, New Mexico. It leaves 3 people dead, 14 others injured, no arrests yet. Visiting a new sinkhole that opened up on I-80 in Morris County, New Jersey this week, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy.
This is a massive artery that can't be shut down. And so everyone is working together to figure out what solution we need to make sure we can open up this roadway again.
This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Badgers basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's Wisconsin against the Brigham Young Cougars. Tonight in the NCAA basketball tournament, Badgers head coach Greg Gard asked what team in the Big Ten reminds him of BYU.
Ourselves, for one. Illinois, a little bit. Illinois shoots a lot of threes. I think BYU may have even more shooters than Illinois. Obviously, for any team that's playing right now is really good.
The tip-off at 6:25. Marquette's season is over. The Golden Eagles lost to New Mexico by 9, 75-66. Head coach Shaka Smart on letting the game slip away.
When we took the lead in the second half, we could really feel a level of momentum. We weren't able to win that next swing minute and just some mistakes that cost us on both ends of the floor.
In hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team skated to a 6-2 win over Minnesota last night. They'll face Ohio State tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock for the national championship in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice start to the weekend. Bit of a different finish, though. Sunny skies today with a high near 41. For tonight, increasing clouds, a light mix possible late, a low near 32. Rainy and breezy on Sunday with a high temperature near 50. Currently, it's 39.
Looking to strengthen the bond with your pup? Dane County Humane Society offers a variety of dog training classes led by certified trainers. Classes are designed to help you and your furry friend learn new skills, improve behavior, and deepen your connection. Whether your dog is a curious puppy, an independent teenager, or a lifelong learner, DCHS has the tools and expertise to help you set the stage for a successful year ahead. Visit giveshelter.org/dogtraining to register today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will take a look at our NCAA basketball brackets after weekend number one. Also, the news of the weekend. Get you caught up. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education across the borders today. We're here with our guy, Jason Bucheri, great Canadian guy. Love chatting with him. And he has a podcast, Education Matters, that, you know, Tim and I are big fans of. And we got to connect with them. And we have him here for you listeners on a Saturday. So this is exciting stuff. I want to jump right back into it because in the last segment, Jason name dropped, a Canadian philosopher, I'll say, a great thinker of the world, Marshall McLuhan. And I remember reading him as a young punk rock grad student, eager to change things, really excited about media and, all kinds of alternate pedagogies and different ways that, you know, we were learning by means of interacting with everything around us, especially pop culture, media. And I read the book. The medium is the message, right? And he took me back to grad school and some amazing conversations around this stuff, especially nudging us to study technology in terms of, instead of, you know, like Tim and I banter back and forth. Of course, yeah, we're both studying it, you know, but we like to argue about, you know, is AI a tool or is AI a whole cultural shift? You know, and we're like, well, it's both. And I'm like, get it out of our classrooms. And Tim's like, too bad that's not a possibility. Bring it into the classrooms, make them stronger. And I said, well, yeah, it's just describing an educational tool. And, you know, Jason's here dropping theory about it, telling us to study it and reminding our listeners to slow down and study. I love that. But Jason, I got to ask you before I take up any more time, man, expand on that a little bit because, boom, mind blown. Marshall McLuhan studying in relationship to AI in the moment we're in.
Yeah, so I think one of the real important things when it comes to studying technology that McLuhan identified as part of the McLuhan method is don't ask if it's good or bad. That immediately blinds you from its effects. Mm. So that's the key. That's the key with Marshall. You want to study the effects. Now, I've listened to some of your other interviews, and I know you had Iron talking a little bit about some of McLuhan's students, in particular, Neil Postman, who takes the opposite view, said like you have to value it, and they're both important approaches. But with Marshall is in particular relevant to AI right now because we don't want to ask if it's good or bad. We want to look at the tsunami of effects. Mm. So I think another author that's useful to help you understand this is taking that approach and looking at the entire history is Yuval Noah Harari, and he looks at AI. Not as a tool, and I think it's a great mistake as a tool, as an agent, because AI is fundamentally different. And by agent, he means something that can act without human direction. And that's fundamentally different. And now we can ask the question, what's the impact on societies? What's the impact on education, right? But we have to start, I think, with that fundamental understanding in the very least.
Yeah, so, and Johnny there, that's what I mean when I trying to push on you that it's not a tool. Thank you, Jason, for, I'm not saying you took my side, but helping me I'm not good at making the point the way you just did right there, which is to kind of lay that out and talk about the fact that, you know, there's something different here when we're talking about artificial intelligence. Yes, it's technology. Yes, it's ed tech. Yes, it's got tooling types of functions that we can apply to it. But that, to me, has always been limiting then by classifying it as a tool. It's limiting then what it can, go ahead, Jason, could do.
No, I just want to jump in because now I'm going to be the good comedian and sit on the fence again and get a couple shots in for Johnny. At the same time, there is a history of the implementation of tools, of tech, right? I think that Johnny would point to. It's like we've also seen part of this history before. Who controls it, right? Who impacts it? Who does it benefit? Who doesn't it benefit? So there is this history of technology that we should be aware of and we should bring to the conversation. The way I like to do it is in this idea of an ecology, right? McLuhan, Postman, Eric McLuhan talked about a media ecology, an environment of media, and that's how they should be studied and understood.
Yeah, I love that metaphor of an ecology, thinking about, you know, all the things as they interact with each other. And Jason, I love your nudge to both Tim and I, the effects, what's happening, the effects, because I would tell Tim, man, AI is producing a ton of garbage music, a ton of garbage stuff. And then really quickly start to see it improve, because iron sharpens iron. And so the human interaction with AI, the more teachers we're working with the technology to say, here's good teaching, here are some ways to differentiate, here are some really important things to understand about different learners, about learners who are speaking a second language in the class, like all these criterias that we're seeing it help and really bring a change and a shift. I would say a much needed assistance to the labor of being in a classroom. And it's not eliminating great teaching. It's helping great teachers do great teaching. It's really becoming, I think, a really powerful, I don't even know what to call it. I would say you got a left hand, you got a right hand, and then you have the technology that helps give you four more hands now in the classroom. So I'm a big fan of us studying it. Love this, Jason. And I want to make, I don't think it's a hard turn, but you know, we only have so much time with you. So I want to get back to Education Matters, because it's related, right? Having dialogue and conversation about these issues, about the important relationship between education and society. And man, I'm a big fan. I mean, you touch on like the way that, you know, neoliberalism is pervasive in education, and the, you know, you don't shy away from the politics of this. I mean, you dive in. So tell us a little bit more about the show and some of the things that you're excited about, you know, as you're having these conversations.
Yeah, I mean, Education Matters was really born out of my experience in education across, you know, I want to say certainly North America, right? Like it was really born from this idea that I've been privileged to see education not only across Canada. Like I've been to LAUSD, I've been to Miami-Dade, I've been to Chicago Public Schools in my work. And I felt that the conversation surrounding education in the media, in, you know, public discourse, even, and again, I say this in my intro, even amongst educators themselves, it really deteriorated. So it would, you know, made me motivated to get out there and start the podcast to not only share the ideas, my ideas, because it's really not about me. It's about my guests. It's about the people I've had the privilege of learning from. So like I mentioned earlier, I started with my father. My mom refused to do an interview with me. She's the much more private person. But also, you know, some of my early educators. I had my rugby coach who ended up being a superintendent of education in my former district. So we had this wonderful conversation about masculinity, sports, and then what it's like to lead a district of the size that he led. And then all of the superintendents I've had the pleasure of meeting and how difficult their job is, right? I often joke that my view of education was kind of imbued by, you know, Superintendent Chalmers and The Simpsons. I always thought those guys were just out to lunch and they were just there in the way of education, but I found the opposite to be true. Even in the U.S., you know, they're very committed, very smart individuals that have a next to impossible job. So, you know, in the end, the podcast is an attempt to share these stories, share these folks, hopefully motivate other educators. The audience is really intended to be, you know, a group of educators or those really passionate about learning about education. And so, you know, I think the work that you're doing and I'm trying to do in Education Matters is really important work.
Yeah, see, and that's it. It's these multiple ways of having these conversations, as you said. And so, Jason, you know, what you saw is very much too what I saw, you know, 10, 15 years ago when I even did my first volunteering on local conservative talk radio was to introduce, and again, not to bash on any one political side, but to try to introduce the conversation around education that I think 80 to 90% of the people mostly agree if you mm-hmm. sat them down and would go, yeah, that makes sense, because they're talking about, well, you know, what's best for my kid? What's best for my community? When we have those conversations, you say it becomes conversations with our neighbors, you know, and so teachers don't become, you know, the scapegoat or the bad person, and superintendents and our neighbors who might have some concerns about what they're hearing about what's going on in the classroom, we can enter into conversations with those people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a place to practice conversations that you disagree on. So like I know it's very contentious right now with American politics, but what we should be focusing on, how to have these conversations. Like, it's never worth losing a family member because they voted for somebody else. Like, this is your family. These are your friends. These are your community. Right. So to me, education is the place, is the locale where you practice these conversations. You learn to disagree. You learn to take the other person's side. And I think the path forward is only through education.
Well, that one too, you just made me think about that, is that, you know, one of the things that Johnny and I have been pointing out here, as you said, the past election here, and, you know, oh my goodness, all the things that are implied there. What we, you know, have pointed out, and a lot of people have helped us see, is there is this, to me, what sounds like there's way more common ground on public education, particularly here. Mm-hmm. We know that in our most rural counties in America, that when given the choice here in America to, quote, give their taxpayer monies to private schools, they overwhelmingly said no. Mm-hmm. And that same group of people, though, also voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people are like, well, so that right there is a deal breaker. I can't talk to them. It's like, no. There's a conversation right there waiting, because these are our people who do see value in public schools and don't want to give this up. And so actually what I'm trying to do is take the conversation that I believe has been hijacked away from us to be able to have with our neighbors, with people who disagree, and they've been told that we're not allowed to have these conversations with each other. Mm. Speaking of conversation, I've got to remind everybody, 608-557-8577. If you're one of our neighbors out there, give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking about. You know, if you're hearing this for the first time and wondering, you know, would Tim and Johnny actually talk to me, because I think I disagree with them? Of course we would. 608-557-8577. That's the mailbag line. And also, don't forget about the text line, 855-752-4842. Our guest on this awesome Saturday, Jason Bucherri. Yeah, from across the border up there in Canada, truly enjoying the weather. Just found out too that depending on if you're going to get into a warm pool, you want to know it in Celsius. If you're getting into Fahrenheit, I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter the temperature of the pool, Tim, as long as you're measuring pool temperature.
Johnny, you got a little bit more
there. Who's measuring the temperature of the pool in January, Tim?
There are indoor pools.
Oh yeah, true. Oh, that's right. You know, you got temperature also exists inside.
Sometimes
Johnny's a hockey player. He's ready to skate on that pool.
Yeah, I just want it frozen or emptied so I can skateboard in it. Hey, Jason, I mean, inspiring stuff. Love being able to have this conversation with you. Excited for our listeners, you know, to get to meet you and to have more. Where can they get more, Jason? Where can they listen to Education Matters and learn more about your work?
Yeah, Apple, Spotify, the Education Matters podcast is the best place for sure. And then feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn or on socials, the Education Matters podcast.
Awesome. Getting it there. And yeah, listener too, we'll make sure that all of that particularly are in the show notes for when this drops as a podcast. That way everybody can get in touch. And, you know, Jason, it's just, yeah, it's so nice to have a conversation. I think that's it. And so, you know, when I see other educators out there who are having these moments, podcasts, you know, newsletters, things like that, and, you know, we joke and say it's like Tim's stalking. No, I'm just trying to find so many people out there who want to have conversations and then demonstrate. So, Jason, we are so glad that you were able to stop by and bust some pencils with us. So thank you, my friend.
Pleasure's all mine, folks. Thanks so much. And just a parting note to my American friends out there. The way forward is through the work and through the relationships and the discussions.
That's right. Beautiful. Tim and Johnny breaking it down when we get back.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
In the fight for our kids' futures and our public schools, we can't afford to stay silent. Brittany Kincer lobbied for the private voucher school industry that drains funds from our public schools. And it doesn't stop there. Kincer worked at alternative schools that cut costs with overcrowded classrooms. 60 to 90 students and unlicensed adults in charge. That's not what's best for our kids. It's time to take a stand. Support our kids. Support our public schools. Demand accountability from Brittany Kincer, who would use our tax dollars to help her donors while leaving our schools and kids behind. Call 415-940-9350 and tell Brittany Kincer, protect our kids. No more cuts to public schools to benefit private interests. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, there it is. It's Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education Saturday. Love being with y'all on Saturday out there. Great guest, Jason Bucheri, his podcast, Education Matters. Across the border in Canada, not our 51st state. They are still their own.
Oh, my God.
Have a back on to talk about that.
You knew Tim was going to try and work that in somewhere.
Hey, I'm just saying, like, I'm looking at Canada when these conversations come up and go, oh, my God, please reject any thought of that, because I don't think there's too many Canadians
taking that seriously. I mean, exactly. I spend a good fair amount of time north of the border with our Canadian friends, and just to say the least. About it. They are not eager to join what currently is, I'll say, the dumpster fire of American politics right now, the, you know, ultimate low moment in modern democracy here in the U.S. And so they're not chomping at the bit to be part of that. And I don't blame them.
No, but great
show today, Tim.
Yeah. Go ahead, Johnny. Holy smokes. Great guest, right?
Yeah. Jason, you know, Bucheri from up there, Education Matters. I loved having a chat with Tim. Hopefully we'll have more chats, but I love that. The whole way that he was kind of, he kept saying, you know, I'll be a good Canadian, I'll stay on the fence. But what he was sharing too, as he was teaching that was a great segue into him saying, you know, we have to study this and we have to have all the voices come together. We have to, I think he said a media ecology, right? A dialogue that disagrees. And we talk about that, Tim, all the time about how, you know, we spend way too much time, not only in education, but especially in matters of democracy more broadly, whether it's debates about healthcare or, you know, sadly debates about human rights. We shouldn't even be saying a sentence like that in 2025, that there are debates about human rights. But, you know, we're in the midst of that. But any good, healthy, strong democracy is rife with debate. It's just being able to do that and hold space for reaching what we call in democracy, common ground, right? A better good for all people to live together. So love that nudge from our guy, Jason, today. Listeners, if you want to drop a question or, you know, join the conversation in some capacity, you can call or text us for the mailbag at 608-557-8577. That's 608-557-8577. Or if you're listening right now, feel free to text at 855-752-4842. But Tim, man, I know you enjoyed that conversation.
I loved it. And Jess, right here, I don't want to steal this. What, you had a comment.
As I was just listening and taking notes, as I do on my side of this whole production, I was so entranced and appreciative of this idea of the concept of ecology, a media ecology and conversation, because those are things that take multiple parties interacting, multiple parties that have their own ideas and ideals that come and grow together, that education is the place where that happens. And the way that we get there is with conversation, with having these talks and sharing what's important to us. It was very fulfilling.
Yeah, like I said, and I knew when Jason said ecology, that would get Johnny going, because that's right up that
a different kind of ecology. But
yeah, I know, but I just in the way Jess too talks, you know, because it becomes a system conversation, and that realizing that when we're talking about systems, is that there's complexity, there's give and take, there's nuances, there's different ways that things interact with other things. There's loss, there's gains. It's you know, it's complex. And that we're our best in democracies are best when we dig in and realize that our public schools are the best when they're engaging in the complex ecology of what's going on with learning, whether that's learning academics or learning to be in a democracy. There's depth there. You know, Johnny, I see you nodding your head there. I think I got some agreement from you.
Yeah. And I like that. One of the things that was, you know, a special highlight of having Jason on the show is we got to talk shop, and, you know, he shared some great thinkers and talked about relationships, learning relationships that we can all be present in, having conversations about things, thinking about the way that we need to study new technologies, reminding us that new technologies, one lens to look at it, right, is to not say, is this good or bad, but to, you know, take a pause on it and have a study of it, have a deliberation, have different ideas. That's going to expose both strengths and challenges to any implementation, to any role technologies can play in our classroom, especially regarding AI. And I love that nudge. Some of the greatest thinkers in the world have talked about that, and I think it's really important.
Yeah, man, great show. But you know what, Johnny? Now it's time for a moment of Zen. Education becomes most rich and alive when it confronts the reality of moral conflict in the world. Thanks everybody for busting pencils with us on a Saturday. Again, shout out to Jason Bucheri, great guest. Check out his podcast, the Education Matters podcast, Spotify, Apple, it's not even Apple iTunes anymore, Apple Podcasts, you can get it there. And then too, you know, we'll have it in the show description. Johnny, we got some great though shows coming up. Again, we love everybody hanging out, busted pencils. We're going to have our homeroom, of course, coming up. Classes in Session coming up this Wednesday. Aditya Nagrath, Math Anxiety. Oh, I know that one all too well, because, man, I've got a ton of math anxiety. And to give you a little hint, we had a little pre-meeting with Aditya, and it's like, okay, this guy is going to help me maybe at age 57 drop a little bit of my math anxiety. But yeah, hang out. And then, yeah, of course, on Friday, face-offs, free throws, face-offs. It's winter. Sports, all those great things that are out there that we love to do. Yeah, and make sure you come back though too on Monday. Homeroom, always love seeing you guys in the morning. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded. See you next week.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Wes and Lori from the Western Dane Democracy Project.
And you'll get a double dose of John and Gordy. We'll be on for Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8. Winter is out and winning is in. It's our Break in the Spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize. A brand new Verlo Queen mattress set from Verlo and Madison, including a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station that gets set to win starting Monday, March 24th. Get ready to break into spring with WMDX. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A fight escalated to a mass shooting, say police in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Three people are dead and 15 others injured.
Our next focus is the apprehension of those involved and those responsible for this atrocity. We will find each and every one of them, and we will hold them accountable to the criminal justice system.
Las Cruces Police Chief Jeremy Story. Ending tomorrow, a five-week hospital stay for Pope Francis, who had pneumonia, which led to complications. To be discharged, says one of his doctors, Sergio Alfieri, at a news conference.
In a stable clinical condition, with a prescription to partially continue drug therapy and convalescence and rest period at least 2 months.
That in Rome, they...